This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the apologetic voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Indeed, we are very, very apologetic. Don't really know what to say. Feel really bad about the fact that we didn't put a pod out last week.
And the fact that this sounds like you're talking through a bit of a potato as well, Richard, because yet again, you have forgotten the equipment to do this podcast. And I do take a deep breath because, yeah, something of a shout for someone so good at what he does, for someone so calm, collected and assured in life. Sometimes, Richard, you are a shambles. You are. It should be the shambolic voice of goalkeeping.
I've got an issue when it comes to, do you know what I should do? I should just have my microphone on me at all times. Just carry it everywhere, you know? I always remember the episode of Friends with Joey where he's had a fork at all times. Just made sense. He loved his food. Maybe I should just have the microphone on me at all times. I can see the look of anguish in your face right now and it hurts me.
Yeah, so last week, unfortunately, we didn't get a pod out, did we? What was the reason for that one? I can't remember.
I was travelling. I was actually visiting many clubs last week. So it was quite a busy week. So there was a good reason for that. There is no good reason this week. I've got nothing but an apology. And I can only hope that you accept it. At the moment, I can sense that you don't.
Can we bring this back to goalkeeping then? How does this relate to goalkeeping? Your, I don't know, forgetfulness?
This is one of those situations, I think, as a goalkeeper where, you know, you've made an error or two. And now it's a case of how do you bounce back? That's what I feel. It's okay. Can we still put on a good show? Can we still, despite all the issues that we've had in the game so far, can we still pull through and at least get a 6 out of 10 in the paper?
Okay, so plenty coming up. We've got the Premier League. We've got the Championship. We've even got the first round of the FA Cup. Shall we get on with the show?
Let's do it.
Starting in the Premier League and at St James's Park, where it was Newcastle 1, Arsenal 0. And where else to start, Richard, but with the theme of the podcast for this season, David Raya, and the winner scored by Anthony Gordon. Now, let's ignore all the outside noise about balls being out of play and fouls on defenders. Was David Raya at fault here? Because Jamie Carragher and Izzy Christensen in the Sky Sports studio certainly thought that he was.
Yeah, there was a lot made of the position again. It's probably similar to the conversation we had last week, where again, he takes, he always has done, taken aggressive positions, looks to affect whatever he can affect. It's very similar to that. There is an argument here that maybe he is a step further forward than he needs to be. I know Jamie Carragher was suggesting that he was in front of his near post. I don't think he was necessarily in front. I think he was probably in line. And I think where, you know, ordinarily the ball, where are we talking? Just outside the 18-yard box, nearly on the byline, you would suggest that a goalkeeper would be towards the front post, of course, maybe about a yard deeper than that would be, I would suggest, probably the ideal position. And then, of course, the closer it gets to the touchline, then you would take a more central position. So I don't think he's massively out of position. The decision then is, of course, when the cross comes, it's a brilliant cross and it's a real tempting one. And we see this all the time with goalkeepers where you're tempted into it. You think you can get there and quite simply, you just can't quite get there. So, I mean, look, is it an error? I'm sure he looks back on it and there'll be bits that the goalkeeper coach would tweak and probably feel that he could have affected the situation a little bit more. But I do feel at the same time, it goes back to everything we've said, you know, and everything we predicted. I feel like we're saying the same things every week on the pod, but it was always going to cause a problem, not necessarily based on their performance, but based on the perception of the situation. You know, even Aaron Ramsdale stepping in and getting the game during the week, you know, had a couple of moments that, again, weren't necessarily errors, but of course, they've been highlighted in a big way. And so now you get that situation that you often get where you've got these two number ones that it's hard for either of them to do right. And there is that increased intense pressure on both of them. Whereas, you know, I suppose had something of shifted at the start of the season, if they decided they wanted to bring in David Raya but moved Aaron Ramsdale on, it would have been a very different feeling around David Raya. Similarly, had they have stuck with Aaron Ramsdale, very different feeling around Aaron Ramsdale. So I do feel for both of them at the moment. I just think they're in a bit of a no-win situation. And of course, something like this happens. Again, it's a reason for the likes of Jamie Carragher, Gary Neville, whoever it might be, to go in that little bit deeper on them. And again, ordinarily, would they get this type of criticism? Possibly not. But I think the fact that the situation is what it is, of course, it's going to be heightened.
Yeah, we won't dwell too much on it because, like you say, we've spoken about it many times before on the pod already this season. But all over the place was a term used to describe Raya. A mess was a term used to describe the situation at Arsenal. And they're in trouble now, according to Jamie Carragher. They can't win anything because Aaron Ramsdale wasn't a goalkeeper to win them the title. And now David Raya isn't a goalkeeper to win them the title, according to Carragher. So, yeah, that's it. Pack it in.
There you go. Call it a day. Just accept the top four finish and be done with it. But no, look, it comes back to it. You know, yet last season, if we think about the comments about David Raya, last few seasons, you know, I can remember distinctly the likes of Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher glowing about him. So it's so interesting that just a change of situation and now all of a sudden he's deemed not good enough. You know, and Jamie Carragher's made that comment about a few goalkeepers. You know, that goalkeeper won't win you the league. Like, again, it's nonsense. You know, the goalkeeper will play the part they play. And actually, again, we go back to it. The positives that both David Raya and Aaron Ramsdale bring to a team are more than good enough if the team's good enough to go on and win a title. But it's such a throwaway comment, such an easy comment to make. And you hear it so often. So look, I do feel for them both because I think now it's not a situation they've created. Of course, David Raya would have known what he was stepping into when accepting the challenge. And of course, you would accept the challenge. Arsenal come knocking. There's an opportunity to team up with a goalkeeper coach that he's worked with before. Obviously, a huge club, a team that did very, very well last season. You're not going to say no to that. But the situation that now surrounds them is a difficult situation for both. And of course, yeah, the likes of Carragher, this is where headlines are created and they want to say things that maybe are that little bit more controversial. We know that. And I do just feel for both of them they're in a very, very difficult situation.
Okay, over to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium where it was Tottenham 1, Chelsea 4. Quite a bizarre game on Monday Night Football. So let's talk about the front-footed Guglielmo Vicario. He did make big saves from Nicholas Jackson, from Cole Palmer, from Mark Cucurella. Very unlucky with the penalty scored by Palmer. He was cutting almost everything out at source, celebrating wildly with his backline as Tottenham fought to stay in the game. Very close to being a goalkeeping performance for the ages, this one. However, conceded 4 goals and lost 4-1.
Yeah, do you know what? I really enjoyed his performance, though. Really enjoyed it. Certainly when Tottenham then, when they went down to 9 and they were keeping been the highest line I've ever seen in my life. And of course, him having to play them very much on the front foot. And there was a couple in particular that he's come and read, I thought were excellent, you know, and he's got there essentially with slide tackles to clear the ball, you know, just look really lively, really pumped up. The saves you mentioned, the one, and in fairness, Gary Neville did point out, I did really enjoy the save where he's read the situation and effectively dived forward, you know, so brave to make that particular save. I think it was it. I'm trying to think who it was that cut in, and it looked like it was a goal all day. Cut in, and it looked like it was going to be a goal all day. And I thought the reading of the situation, knowing there was another player to his left hand side as we speak. So, you know, just seeing that situation, his only option was to come out and try and affect the play and try and get that big block, which he did. And no, there were some excellent things. And you actually watched the game, there was, you know, a couple of moments towards the end, certainly at 2-1, where Spurs could have got that equaliser. And as you say, had they have done that, this would have been a performance we'd have been talking about for a long, long time. By the way, it was an absolutely crazy game. I was really excited to talk to you about this because as I was watching it, all I could think is that I bet Matt Beadle is absolutely hating this. The amount of VAR that came into play, it was just a mental game.
A ridiculous game. Yeah, I mean, did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy watching that as a spectacle? Did you think that was a good advert for the sport?
Did I enjoy watching it? No, I did because it was so unique. At the same time, of course, the frustration with constant stoppages. Yeah, I know we've said it a lot. And it, obviously even more so now with the fact that so many people are talking about VAR, even more so. You kind of felt like it would just drift away and just become almost, it is what it is now. But of course, in recent weeks with some of the other examples, of course, Arteta making his thoughts known in the game that we've just mentioned. It's not getting to a point where it is just what it is, or the decisions are that much more accurate and it's flowing that bit quicker. If anything, the decisions seem to be taking a bit longer, which again will probably be from the recent scrutiny where they're now wanting to make sure it's 100% right. But of course, in doing that, each time we're looking at 3 minutes, and I'm trying to think what the added time was yesterday. I think in total it was like over 20 minutes again, wasn't it, of added time? So, yeah, not ideal. But again, what is the solution, Matthew? What is the solution?
Well, the solution is quite simple: to get rid of VAR, to have never brought it into the game, Richard. I said this many times before, haven't I? And as you've just said there, yes, we're elongating, we're prolonging the conjecture. Conjecture about the conjecture. I've said that so many times in the past few years. And the other... I can see you sniggering here. You've lit the blue touch paper, haven't you? Trying to get me on a rant. Do I need to have this rant? I don't really know. I've done it so many times on the pod before. What I will say is that I didn't enjoy that. Anybody who enjoyed that as a spectacle, what should have been a really dramatic, enjoyable game of Premier League football, for me, was completely ruined. And yes, it was still dramatic, I suppose, but for all the wrong reasons. I was just frustrated watching that. And I know that I will sound archaic. I know I'll sound like a dinosaur. I know that people will say football needs to move with the times. It needs to adjust with the modern era, and there is so much resting on decisions and fine margins. But that's football. No, that's the game that we once knew and we once loved. And you said there that it would drift away, VAR. I knew categorically, unequivocally, that VAR wouldn't just drift away, because it would never be clear and obvious. It would never be black and white, which is what it should be now with VAR. But football is such that you can't have those black and white decisions, because it is still objective, isn't it? We look at decisions and people debate, people disagree. That human error from a referee, from an assistant referee, I actually quite enjoyed those debates before. And I go back to Peter Schmeichel here, I'll mention him this time, not you, saying that he liked an imperfect game. But now those debates about whether or not a decision was right or wrong should be completely eradicated. The whole point of VAR was to get rid of the conjecture. All we're doing is just prolonging it. We're just continuing an argument. It's like having an argument with your missus or your partner that you never get to the end of, because you're just constantly going over the same stuff. It's completely pointless. And I don't believe that Ange Postecoglou's words carry too much weight after the game either. It's all very well saying that, oh, we're just standing around and this is what football's become now and we have to accept it. Well, that's fine when the decisions have gone against you. If you were championing the madness of VAR when it was introduced a few years ago, then I'd understand, but not now when things start to go against you. It's just, yeah, I don't know. We are just trying to manufacture, to perfect a game that isn't perfect. Like, what's going to happen in the future now? Are we going to just try and perfect what actually happens on the pitch? If a midfielder makes the wrong pass, a defender makes the wrong tackle, if a goalkeeper, I should say, doesn't save the penalty, or a striker doesn't nod in from a corner, what are we going to do? Wheel out a flipping rope like Tommy Terminator? Is he going to come in and make the save, or nod in the corner? RoboKeeper, is he going to come in and make the save? It's just crazy. Like, I don't know whether you saw before the game either yesterday, the segment with Gary Neville trying to educate what I would say is a well-informed audience already watching football on whether or not a ball is in or out. Now, this should not even be a debate. It goes back to the game between Newcastle and Arsenal for the first goal, when the ball looked like it might have been out of play. We have goal line technology, and that's brilliant because it's instantaneous. Bish, bash, bosh, it's done. But outside of the posts, we don't have any kind of camera or technology that can really determine whether the ball is in or out of play. That goes back to human error. That goes to the referee or the referee's assistant. So there, the debate is done. We shouldn't be talking about it anymore. So why Gary Neville is getting the curvature of the ball, is standing pitch side at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium just to tell us whether or not a ball is in or out of play, is just completely ridiculous. And I tell you what else is ridiculous. I'll go back to the game. We'll get back to goalkeeping. Is Guglielmo Vicario, who did have a very good game and is having a very good season, but I did not like his histrionics in that challenge with Mikhailo Mudryk. I understand that you're trying to level it up and get one of their players sent off, but yeah, I didn't like that one bit. I actually thought that was a bit pathetic, really.
Okay, you've had your rant. By the way, Tommy Terminator, he has got a bit. He's a little bit stiff, doesn't move around his goal too well, but I'll tell you what, distribution is phenomenal. He can fire a ball.
I got a bit angry there. I even messed my words up, I think, at one point. But yeah. Okay, we'll move on, shall we?
Let's do it.
I think this is a hangover, Richard, from you not doing the pod last week and not having your microphone today. I think it's got to me. You've rattled me.
I can sense this.
Okay, finishing up in the Premier League. So five saves and a solid performance from Thomas Kaminski. Luton won a piece with Liverpool. Good performance from him. Andre Onana. I wanted to talk about his technique with you, especially with one particular save from Harry Wilson. Kept it clean for Manchester United in their win at Fulham. An uncharacteristic error from Yashin Trophy holder, nonetheless, Emi Martinez. Aston Villa going down 2-0 at Nottingham Forest. Martinez culpable for the second goal scored by Orel Mangala.
Yeah, do you know what? There were certain similarities in both of these moments, the Onana moment and the Martinez moment, in that you look at the save and, look, very powerful, gets up to his right, keeps the ball at the net. So first and foremost, you know, big tick in terms of doing that. It's then just, of course, the angle of the parry. And I think it was probably a more difficult one for Martinez, in that it is that top hand. And you see this sometimes where if you don't quite get the right connection on it, you don't have control on where the ball is going to go. And it's incredibly unfortunate that it's kind of looped in the air and then dropped back over the line. He obviously couldn't quite get there. So it's unfortunate. You're talking millimetres. You know, if he gets the right connection, it all happens at such pace. He gets the right connection. It's another classic Emi Martinez top hand save. You know, very powerful. Everything about it was great, except for those few millimetres where it hits more of his wrist as opposed to his palm. And then you lose control over where it goes. Similarly, the Onana save, you know, it's one that on the face of it, in terms of where the ball's ended up, if someone comes in and heads that into an empty net, again, Onana is being questioned for that particular moment. But again, it's just that, where does it hit you on the palm? Did he intend to parry it back out, or was he trying to just tip it over the bar? The course of play in that particular moment, if you can, is just to help it on for a corner or to put it out wide if you can. So it was quite an unusual looking save. Even the save he made straight down his throat, good reactions. And again, you see this quite often with Onana, with a few different goalkeepers, where because of that explosion, I suppose that's the only way I can describe it, that explosive nature where you're set, you're ready to go, you're very tense in that moment. When the strike comes in, you're just ready to explode. And normally that's to your right or left. In this case, it was pretty much straight down his throat, but he needed to react well. And you kind of see that explosion come out in often is quite a theatrical kind of movement. In fact, you know, we spoke about Vicario briefly there. Vicario's got that as well, in that it's like a coiled up spring. And the moment that you then go to make that save, sometimes even if it is straight down your throat, you're already in that set position where you're ready to really fire off to the left or the right. And you tend to see that where it is almost quite an exaggerated movement, even for a ball that might come straight at you.
Odi Vlachodimos making his debut for Nottingham Forest as well, in for Matt Turner. Thought he looked very good. Unlucky for Turner to be benched, a £12 million signing, I think it was, in the summer, wasn't it? So it'll be very interesting to see what happens there at the City Ground.
Yeah, well, it's another situation, again, because it's not an Arsenal or Chelsea or, you know, one of the clubs that maybe get that bit more publicity. There is an argument that there's a similar situation there. Like, I'm sure that Matt Turner went there with the idea of, you know, I want to establish myself as the number one. Of course, he's had a bit of a chance to do that, had some big moments, and now they've made the change. So you could argue now, although Matt Turner has been a two at Arsenal, you have now got the two number ones again at Forest. It won't get anywhere near the coverage that an Arsenal situation or I suppose Chelsea to an extent, although obviously Rob Sanchez has nailed down that number one spot. But of course, there are still a few question marks around that, certainly from fans, even though we've touched on a lot of the positive performances that he's put in. But I do think that it's a similar one at Forest. It will go under the radar, but it is really interesting to see how that plays out now.
And finally, two contracts signed and sealed last week in the Premier League. Sam Johnstone, a new deal at Crystal Palace until 2027. And Jason Steele, a new deal at Brighton until 2026. I think the first one of those, Sam Johnstone, the more interesting, curious deal that's been given to him, especially with the situation of them signing Dean Henderson in the summer.
Yeah, and again, probably similar to what we said before, these are probably the few examples in the Premier League of where you feel you've got the two number ones. Now, the Palace one has settled down due to the fact that, of course, Henderson has picked up the injury that he's picked up. But let's, I suppose, put that to one side for the moment. You have to say Sam Johnstone's been exceptional. You know, when he stepped in last season, and obviously that was the reason then for Gueye to move on, the kind of realization that actually, you know, it's not just stepping in and happy to be that too, which we knew he wouldn't be. You know, making the move from West Brom, it was very much to be a number one in the Premier League, and he's been excellent pretty much from the moment that he stepped into the team. Big performance after big performance. You know, we know that he's mentally very, very strong. And again, it's a really nice platform, I suppose. We go back to what we said about where you've got those big clubs that kind of scrutiny, nothing against the Palace or Forest, but where it's at next tier, you see a lot of, but arguably a David Raya for Brentford the last season, where, you know, you can just enjoy your game that bit more almost. And again, playing in the way that he's playing, he's getting a lot of plaudits. And again, there'll be a lot of people looking at him. I wasn't surprised to see him sign a new contract. I think Palace will probably look at their goalkeeping department now. And once Dean Henderson is fit, they have got two excellent English goalkeepers. So yeah, I wasn't surprised to see it. Certainly, I think it's fully deserved. And I think Palace realise they've got a goalkeeper there that could be their number one for the next few years. And knowing that they've got the likes of Dean Henderson coming back, who's going to be putting in big competition and also wanting that spot. I am fascinated to see how it will play out further down the line when Dean Henderson is fully fit. Because, again, just from previous, when he was at United and obviously going on the different loans, it is quite well known he's not the type to be a number two. So, again, that's an issue for further down the line.
It is the abridged EFL overview. Just the Championship this weekend, of course, with FA Cup action taking place. So we'll start with Carl Rushworth and Anthony Patterson continuing to stake their claim as England's brightest young prospects. Rushworth keeping out Jack Clarke and Patrick Roberts in the first half, and Luke O'Neill brilliantly in the second with a reflex stop from a corner. Patterson denying Jamal Lowe from the spot. So both of those goalkeepers doing well in fine form this season. Never too old to celebrate a save. Just ask John Ruddy, who threw a fist out after diverting Connor Chaplin's effort wide with his feet. It ended 2-2, however, between Birmingham and Ipswich. Jack Bonham saves in either half to ensure Stoke v Cardiff ended goalless. Colin Grant denied down low to his right. Ryan Wintle down low to his left. And Ian Melier with a late save to earn Leeds a victory at Leaders Leicester. Kiernan Dewsbury Hall's header clawed out by the Frenchman. Manager Daniel Farke hailed him as the best goalkeeper in the league.
Yeah, would you know, it was interesting to listen to some of the commentary after. I think it was Dean Smith who made the comment that I would certainly expect him to make this save. And again, I was just watching it. The way he's clawed out the top corner, it's, you know, near enough over the goal line. It's just a brilliant, brilliant save. But yeah, it's just quite interesting where it's that no real depth to the comment. It was, oh no, I'd expect my goalkeeper to make that save. Like, okay, is that because it's kind of deemed near post? Is that because, like, what? Why would you expect that? Because it is, you know, he had to move across his goal. It's going right in that top corner. Again, he's used every inch of that frame to get up. Brilliant athleticism to get hand to it. It's pretty much, like I say, on the goal line. He claws it out. It's a top save. So yeah, a little bit frustrating if that's now expected of a goalkeeper, because I don't think there's loads of goalkeepers that have got that save in the locker. I thought it was top. And just to mention a few others, Jack Bonham save, excellent. Stepped in again, as Jack always does. Two clean sheets for Stoke, just super, super solid. And the save at the end, I mean, that's fired in quick. It's going right in that low near post, but his position is excellent. So sharp down to his left, good hand, and preserves clean sheet and a point. Really wanted to talk about Rushworth and Patterson because I thought they were both exceptional in this game. You know, really good 0-0. Again, we love a 0-0, don't we? But really good 0-0. A couple of top saves. The save you mentioned, in regards to Rushworth, the top hand save. And again, it's probably one of his biggest strengths. He is so sharp. You know, that one that has taken a bit of a nick, it's kind of going back on himself. But the, I suppose, again, athleticism, but the way in which he's able to move his body at that speed and find a way to not only keep it out, but a really good technique to get it over the bar, I just thought was exceptional. And I wanted to save the last comment for John Ruddy because I love this. I love this for the fact it's one of the most unique saves I've seen for a long, long time. You don't see saves like this that often where, you know, he's going one way, he's taking the deflection, it's going in the other corner, and it's that outstretched left foot where he gets a stud to it, no more than a stud, and it was enough just to take it past the post. It's one of those, it's such fine margins, and it just creeps the other side of the post. And yeah, you can certainly see that he enjoyed that one.
Very good, Richard. We are now going to move over to the FA Cup first round. I think we should have a bed, shouldn't we, here? Some background music, maybe something, I don't know, quite traditional. Should we give it a go?
Okay, let's see what you can produce.
There we go. Okay, so ordinarily with the FA Cup, we like to just mention some names that wouldn't normally be mentioned on the podcast. So Ramsgate goalkeeper Tom Hadler helped the eighth tier side to the second round for the first time in the club's history. They knocked out Woking, Jordy van Stapeshev, an old favourite there, conceding four, but still making it through to the next stage as a result of Aldershot's bizarre 7-4 triumph over Swindon. Sheppey United stopper Aidan Prowell made 13 saves in their clash with Walsall. Proved to be unlucky, however, the Saddlers running out 4-1 victors there. There were clean sheets for Harry Tyra, George Willis, Lucas Coverland, there's a name, Will Stanway, David Stockdale and Laurie Walker of Chesterfield, Alfreton, Maidstone, Chester, York and Barnet respectively. The last two of those, Stockdale and Walker, making fine saves in their games. Harvey Cartwright keeping the gloves on for Grimsby and tipping over from George Alexander in a potential banana skin at Slough. Sam Freeman, part of a Cray Valley paper mills team, earning a replay with Charlton, a team five divisions and 117 places above them in the football pyramid. A really good display from him. Notable saves from Slobodan Tedic and Charlie Kirk. And can we have the goalkeeper assist klaxon, please? So, up for debate, this one, but we're going to give it to the helmeted Joe Day, on loan at Yeovil from Newport County. Reece Murphy was credited with the goal when in fact it did appear to be an own goal from Joe Grayson. Technically, there was another touch before it went in, but we'll give it to him, right?
Of course we will. That's what we do. I mean, I'm sure that Flash Scores didn't. I actually didn't check this one. I normally have a little look to see if they do credit the goalkeeper. It's always lovely to see the goalkeeper's name and then, or see the scorer's name, sorry, and the goalkeeper's name in brackets next to them with the assist. But I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have, but we will, because that's what we do on the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Nearly missed the game, Joe Day. They were scrambling around to try and find a goalkeeper in the week. You may have noticed he was wearing a helmet a la Petr Cech. Do you know why that was?
Go on.
He was bitten by a spider.
Really?
Yeah. He got bitten by a spider in the week and it really inflamed, apparently. It really swelled up. It got infected. I think the manager described it as something like a bullet wound on the side of his head. So he was touch and go whether he was going to play. They couldn't find a replacement goalkeeper. They've got lads out on loan, I believe. But Joe Day braved it, bagged an assist. They won 3-2. Gate said they beat.
There you go. That is one of the more unusual reasons that someone might miss a game. But credit to him for getting over the spider. I didn't know we had spiders like that in England. You know, I kind of assumed that they were all quite placid.
Placid spiders. Brilliant. That's what you get on the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Okay, Spawny goal of the week. We are going to give to Olukayode Osu, an own goal for Bracknell at Cambridge. There was a huge mix-up with goalkeeper Michael Ecott, who wasn't able to summon his inner Robert Sanchez or even his inner Will Norris to scamper back and clear it off the line. Last week, not doing the pod, of course, we weren't able to comment on Robert Sanchez and his rapid pace in trying to get back and dispossess Neil Mopé in Chelsea's home defeat to Brentford, and Will Norris in Peterborough's defeat to Chesterfield, showing some fine pace in, what, the first 10 seconds of that game.
Yeah, do you know what? I think at some point, maybe this is something we could arrange. We could do a goalkeeping race. Mm. I'd be fascinated. It'd be a fascinating watch because goalkeepers, look, and I was definitely in this bracket, we do have a slightly unusual running style. That being said, when I saw Rob Sanchez chase back, I thought he was going to get there. I mean, that was Usain Bolt. That was just the amount of ground that he made up was extraordinary. But yeah, ordinarily, I'd suggest that goalkeepers, although we're very quick, first 5 yards or so, and you need to be, I think over a longer distance, not so much. And I felt for him on this one because it's, yeah, look, it's horrible. He's going one way, the ball's going the other way, to then turn, get back, try and either throw yourself at it, whether it's a sliding tackle, whether it's diving on the goal line and clawing it out. Such a difficult technique, and to have that pace over the 15 yards or so that you needed, it was just one of those real agonizing ones that he just couldn't quite get himself there.
And let's have one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper keeper.
So Peterborough managing to salvage a draw at home to Salford, but not a day for Nicholas Bailo-Kapic to look back upon with too much fondness here.
No, really difficult. Yeah, look, it's one of them again. Peterborough, and the way in which they want to play, known for wanting to play out. So he will obviously be utilised quite a lot of touch of the ball in the games that he plays. And look, that first one, it's a free kick. He's on the right-hand side. He's seen someone free on the left-hand side. I don't think he's seen the striker. I think he's just tried to whip it out to the left-back, probably blindsided with the striker. I think stood behind one of his players. And of course, the moment he tries to strike it across, because he actually strikes it okay. And that's the reason I think he doesn't see him, because it wasn't like he scuffed it into the middle. He's tried to whip it out to the left-hand side. Of course, it's gone straight to the opposition player who's put it into an empty net. And the second one, just one of those horrible moments. Ball comes back. And of course, as a goalkeeper, you're always thinking, what's next? Okay, I'm going to take a touch and then I'm going to play wherever I'm going to play. So you're thinking ahead. You're not necessarily as focused on that moment as maybe you should be at times. And it's just, yeah, look, this happens to an outfield player. It rolls under your foot. People forget about it. But of course, the moment it happens for a goalkeeper, there've been a few classic examples in the past, and I'm sure we'll see many more, but it is that horrible one that then you're turning back. You're trying to get back to your goal as quick as you can, similar to the situation we just mentioned. And you can just see you're not going to get there. And it is, yeah, horrible, horrible moment for him. And as you mentioned, a couple of goals that I'm no doubt he'll look back on with a bit of frustration.
Okay, Richard, that's pretty much us. A short and sharp affair this week, but we do have some correspondence that I would just like to read out to finish up the show, okay?
Okay, excellent.
It's a lovely message we've had in from Charlie Horlock, who is a goalkeeper for Hitchin Town. That is Step 3, the Southern Premier Division. He said, I'm a big fan of your podcast and I've been a weekly listener for years now. I'm not much of a self-publicist, but I wanted to get in contact as I feel it's something you might find as good content for your show. Yesterday, I scored to put us 1-0 up and later in the game saved a 94th minute penalty at 2-1 up, helping us get the win. Like I say, honestly, don't mind if you don't want to use it in your podcast, as I'm sure you get loads of messages, but wanted to get in touch. Thank you, and love the work that you guys do. So first and foremost, he scored and he saved a penalty at the death. They won the game 3-1. They were 2-1 up at the time when he made the penalty save. It ended 3-1. But I would say here too as well, he said, I'm not much of a self-publicist. This is something we've spoken about many times before. It's good to be a self-publicist, not to massively over-promote yourself, but just a little subtle branding, a little subtle promotion is a good thing, isn't it?
No, absolutely. It's something that, obviously, with a lot of the lads that I work with, I'd always promote. Of course, doing it in a subtle way. You don't want to be too over the top. But yeah, of course, if you're doing big things, doesn't matter what level you're playing at, to be putting things out on social media, to be publicising yourself as best you can. Do you know what? I'm going to give you a little bit of a... this is part of our pitch when we do talk to players. And I always give the example that any player is effectively a product. And I use this in the nicest possible way. And then it's how best would you market a product? You know, certainly when it comes to goalkeeping, there's no right or wrong. You want to get to the very highest level you can. And still, even with all the improvement with statistics, with data and what have you, so much of it is based on the reputation that a goalkeeper builds. So look, certainly, you know, any way in which you can promote yourself. And, you know, as much as he says, he's sure we get loads of emails. We don't. We really don't. That's probably the first one we've had in weeks. So yes, send them through. And I know what Matt Beadle's like. He will happily read any correspondence.
Why do you speak about me like I'm not here, by the way? I know you could say I know what you're like. I'm right here. I'm here every week. Every week. So they did beat Hales Owen 3-1. So a fantastic result, and he's done incredibly well. I would just like to read an excerpt from a brilliant match report on the Hitchin Town website. You only get this in non-league. So the report was written by Pipeman, apparently. Pipeman. I imagine it is Pipeman, isn't it? Not Pipeman. It's not his surname. So Pipeman has written the report, and he did say there was a downside, however, and by that I mean the players' karaoke on the coach on the way home. All good fun, really, and I am always reminded of an official of another club who, seeing such antics, declared it was good for team bondage, unaware of his malapropism and indignant when he was gently corrected.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a Premier League report, but I love it. I love it. It's very different. I've read a couple recently myself. I should have sent one to you, actually. I'll see if I can find it, and we'll read that one out next week. So I read a match report that's one of the most interesting and entertaining match reports I've read for a long time, but very little about the game.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of a bit archaic now, really, match reports, aren't they? You have to be a bit more creative. Anyway, Richard, this is us done. We will be back next week with everything as it normally should be, right? Or are you going to be somewhere far, far away in the galaxy?
No, next week it will be the usual setup. Once again, I do apologize. I hope that this potato that I've been using as a microphone today has done the job. But yes, we will be back up and running and back to our regular schedule as of next week.
Good, good stuff. And everything okay with you? Everything in the goalkeeping world? You said you saw some clubs at the top of the show.
Yeah, all good. No, it was good to do the rounds last week. I was back in sunny England for the week, and Met several clubs actually. So is that time now of the season? Of course, even though it feels like the summer transfer window hasn't long closed, of course, we now are only 2 months away from January, and there's always bits and pieces. Not so much in January. It's obviously that little bit more reactive, and it'll be based on essentially what happens over November, December, whether that's injuries or goalkeepers having a bit of a tough time, or goalkeepers, of course, getting moved to higher levels, etc. So there's always a little bit of movement in January. So very much the preparation for that.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, keepers
away.